Good morning. We're glad that you are here today, and happy Thanksgiving to you and all who are watching online and in our gymnasium for this service. Thank you for being here this morning. Psalm 92 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night." We certainly have much to be thankful for. God has been good to us. He's provided for us. He has shown his grace and his mercy to us, and we're thankful. And I think that most of us will have an opportunity to even share that with family and friends as we get together with them this weekend. One tradition that we have on this Sunday before Thanksgiving here at Meadowlands is to take a special offering over and above our normal giving. And while we won't be passing the offering plates this year for obvious reasons, you can still give to one of two different needs that we are presenting to you this morning. And you probably have read this in your newsletter that you've gotten on, you already received on Friday. Hopefully you were able to read through that. But we would like to once again give you an opportunity to give to our mortgage reduction. It is sitting right now at $44,000, and we praise the Lord for his helping us to almost have our mortgage paid off. So you can give toward this project, as well as a love gift to our missionaries. And this is to let them know that we're thinking of them through this time. As you know, if you've seen ministries around you, our ministry, it's had an effect going through the pandemic, and we have heard from our missionaries that they've been dealing with some of the very same things that we have. And so this is our opportunity to show them that we're thinking of them as they're going through this difficult time, and we're praying for them. And so this is an opportunity for us to give a little bit of a love gift to them. And so whatever is given, whatever is designated for our missionaries, we'll just divide up between all of them and send this to them as a gesture of our love to them. And I trust that we'll give generously as God has prospered us. Make sure you designate one of those two things on your check or online as you give. And if you do not designate, it will just go to our general fund. Another tradition that we've observed here at Meadowlands for the last few years is to especially focus on this day on praising God for salvation that he has given to us. Because of our sin, he took our punishment for us by dying on the cross and saving us. And this is our Thanksgiving service that we give for this time of year. And so today we'll be reading Matthew's account of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We'll also be singing hymns of praise to God for our salvation. Later in the service, we'll be observing communion, and you noticed as you came in the tables that had the elements on them. And if you did not get those elements as you came in, feel free to go out during our first song and pick that up for you and anyone who may need it with you. Our first song this morning is "Sing Praise to God Who Reigns Above." He's the God of our salvation. And then after we sing that hymn together, we'll sing, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee." Please stand as we sing.
God of all creation, the God of God, God of all, God of all.
Standing for prayer. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, the psalmist recorded for us a psalm of thanksgiving. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. We come here this morning with thankful hearts on this Thanksgiving weekend. We could be grateful for a great many things, but we purposely turn our hearts and minds to what we should be very thankful for, our soul's salvation. You came to this earth, lived a sinless and perfect life. You died on the cross, were buried, but rose 3 days later. You made salvation possible and led captives to freedoms from many tribes, nations, and tongues who will one day praise you before your throne in heaven. May we be reminded of this fantastic gospel message. May we continue to think about the gospel and preach it to ourselves. Work through your word and your Holy Spirit to search our hearts, identify anything sinful and contrary to Christ's likeness. Convict us of where we are in sin. May we be people who live and talk about the gospel to others. The psalmist continued, "Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, and though they saw my work for 40 years, I was grieved with that generation, and said, 'It is a people that go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways.' So I swore an oath in my wrath, 'They shall not enter my rest.'" May we take this warning from the psalmist, and may we hear your word and put it into practice, building on the solid rock. May we have hearts able to receive, and may we enter a perfect rest, peace with God, the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we thank you that you are with those who cannot be here this morning, and we ask that you would comfort and protect them. For those who are sick, we ask for healing and restoration through your mercy or grace, that they would know that you are with them and walking with them. May they be refined through this time. We praise your name, O Lord, our Redeemer, and we thank you again for what you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. You can be seated.
Reading from Matthew's Gospel. chapter 26, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings that he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil. And she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When the evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" He answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" He said to him, "You have said it." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all man's more, that he should give his only Son to make a wretched treasure. How great the pain of searing want, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulder. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held me there until it was a cross. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast of any case.
And when they had sung a hymn, they went to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and they began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch me for 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them sleeping again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came for the chief priests and elders to the people. Now his betrayer had given him a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he's the one. Seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. But suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you not think that I could not pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must happen thus? In that hour Jesus said to the multitude, "Have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples forsook him and fled.
Now we'll turn our attention to Psalm 51, Psalm of David. This is a transcription of this psalm put into poetic form, and we'll sing this hymn, "I Plead for Grace."
Yeah.
Let's bow for a prayer of confession. The Bible warns us that before partaking of the Lord's Supper, we should examine ourselves. And that is a good thing to do. As the psalmist prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Our Father, we come to you this morning with grateful hearts. And we thank you for one of the working that you do in our lives, which is conviction. We thank you that the Holy Spirit has come to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We're thankful that you have given us your word that is profitable not only for teaching, but for reproof and correction. Father, we're thankful for your law that shows us our inability to keep it, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in seeing that we have fallen short, we have no other way but to look to you for rescue. So we thank you for sending your Son to die for our sins. And we thank you that as believers in Jesus Christ, when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Father, we do not seek to obey your commands to earn your salvation, for it is by grace that we have been saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift from you, not of works, lest we should boast. But because you have saved us, we want to obey your commands, to show our gratitude. We want to remain in fellowship with you. So we are thankful that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Father, as we pause to examine our hearts, we repent of the sin of falling short of your glory. We confess that we have not obeyed your commands, that we have not loved you with all our heart, even as we are about to read of Peter, who denied you three times. We all understand what it means to deny our Savior, to put other things as idols ahead of our love for you. So we pray that you would wash us, cleanse us, restore to us the joy of your salvation, and that your Holy Spirit would enable us to walk worthy of our calling. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, I'm sorry, John. Come ahead. I jumped the gun.
And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" And the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He is deserving of death." Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you?" Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out into the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." A little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who said to him, "Before a rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. So he went out and wept bitterly.
Rock of ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin a double cure. Cleanse me from his guilt and power. Not the labors of my hand can fulfill my tears for rest at all. Could my tears forever flow? All more sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Make it come. Judge.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross.
Let's continue our reading. Reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 27. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus, put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful, and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to it." And he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. But the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury,
because they are the price of blood. And they consulted together and brought with them the potter's field to breathe strangers in. Therefore, that field had been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled that was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, they took the 30 pieces of silver and the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed them. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? Then Jesus said to him, it is as you say. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered him, not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast of the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said to him, let him be crucified. Then the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children.
Verse 26. Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him, and they put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews! Then they spat on him, and they took a reed, and they struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they came, found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear the cross. And when they had come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of the skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his lots, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right, another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also mocked with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man's calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and he yielded up his spirit.
King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall glory be. Lest I forget my Lord, crown thou thee with glory. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget my
continuing in Matthew 27:51. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, and feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now, when evening had come,
there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary, sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember when he was still alive, how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard.
The words that we have read have been sobering, and in a way they are horrific. As we think about the unjust trying and execution of an innocent man, in fact, a man who had never sinned. As we think about the pain and the suffering of the torture, especially on the cross, we have a word for the most intense pain we can imagine, excruciating. And that word comes, crus is cross, ex out of the cross is the most intense pain that we can imagine that Jesus suffered. And yet as we read these words, we find them in what is called the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel means good news. Why such a tragic, horrible story could be good news? Well, it's because of what Isaiah prophesied. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. You see, Jesus died for us. He laid down his life for the sheep. Our sin needed to be paid for. And Jesus left the glories of heaven on a rescue operation to die for our sins, to rescue us, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That is good news. And so even as we soberly remember what Christ had done, we can with joy have thanksgiving for what he has done on our behalf. And so if you are a member of our church, or if you are trusting in Jesus Christ alone as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to join our church family as we are told to remember. We read earlier that Jesus observed the Passover meal with his disciples, and he gave a new meaning to the bread and cup, saying it represents his body and his blood. And so I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul tells the local church there, "For I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.
Matthew chapter 28. Now the day after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave them a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen.
I'd like to thank all of those who took part in today's service, both in the music and those who agreed to read for us this account from Matthew's Gospel. I appreciate their willingness to serve. We would ask that on your way out, as we are dismissed, that you take the cups and dispose of them in the receptacles there in the foyer. I don't know if you noticed, but twice in the chapter that Bob read, Matthew 28, the response upon seeing Jesus was worship. So it's only fitting that we end our time together singing, "O worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his wonderful love." When we finish the last stanza, we will sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow," and then we'll be dismissed. Shall we stand together as we sing?
Pray for me, sing. Praise Him, all.